Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Radio EduTalk, and my name is David Noble. I'm in Dalgate today, and in the virtual studio by Joe Jones, who's the Scotland Director of Cuerva Coaching. Good evening, Joe. How are you?
Yeah, good evening, yourself.
Yeah, not bad at all. It's been another busy week, of course, but tonight we're going to be talking about the whole kind of concept of Cuerva Coaching, the kind of philosophy behind it. no doubt that many listeners to Radio in communities and will be aware that that there's football coaching throughout the land, and there's various different approaches to it. But certainly, the impression I get is that the Cuerva method is becoming more prevalent across certain parts of Scotland. So we're going to find out more this evening. Cuerva coaching and how it's actually taking off in Scotland. If you are listening to the show tonight, please know that it is actually a pre-recording, so there won't be any opportunities for live interaction, but it's easy enough to go into a search engine and just search for Cuerva coaching, that's C-O-E-R-V-E-R, and of course you can get in touch with EduTalk at any point during the week, and if you've got any comments or questions for Joe after listening to tonight's show, then use the hashtag EduTalk, that's E-D-U-T-A-L-K, all one word, or as ever, you can email the show at, and that's EduTalker, E-D-U-T-A-L-K-R, at hotmail.co.uk. So just to start off, Joe, it would be great to hear a bit about the background to the Cuerva methods.
Well, Cuerva coaching is it's a long story, but Cuerva coaching was started in '04, inspired by a top Dutch coach called Will Cuerva. He was a championship manager in the Dutch league. When he left the professional game, he was then looking at ways of coaching players around the world. And Will's belief back then was that it was very much go down the tactical and physical route of coaching. And his belief was that what made players special was their individual skills. So he started about, you know, looking at players like Rivellino, Cruyff, Beckenbauer, even back to Jurgen Stanley Matthews, and looked and said, well, what made them special? And his take was interesting. So he then sort of set about, you know, trying to teach those skills to young players. Back in '84, it was then taken over by our co-founders, if you like, inspired by Will, Charlie Cook, famous Scotland Chelsea player, and Alfred Galician, and they've taken the programme forward to kind of where it is now. Now we're lucky enough to have a global nation in 30 countries, working with some of the top famous in the clubs. So it's been a massive progression for the programme, you know, always inspired by Will, but, you know, really taking forward with Charlie and Alf.
And can you give us a bit of a kind of understanding then about what the kind of central features are then of the method, and obviously not criticising other methods, but how is it kind of possibly unique from other approaches?
I mean, Cuerva's always been based on Will's initial belief that the game, especially in the formative years, should be about individual skills. And we believe if you look at the game, it's made up of individual and small group plays. So our approach to the game is that you need to have these individual skills. You know, you need to have a good first touch, be able to run with the ball, play 1v1. All those that are, sorry, it's a team area, you know, so you need to be able to, you know, understand how your skills fit into the team. And if you look at the game, again, we believe it's made up of small groups. Very rarely, in even an 11-a-side game, do all the players take part in any sequence of play. It's normally in scenes between one, two, or three players. So we believe that that's how the game's made up. So that's the starting point for Cuerva. You know, we believe that the foundation is just skill development. So that's the starting point, and probably what, first of all, makes it unique. I mean, the other thing that really makes it unique is that it's a truly global programme. You know, we've been lucky enough to, over the 28 years to work all over the world, still working in 30 countries now, but certainly many more over the years. And I think the Cuerva, you're truly getting that global approach, and you're also getting ideas from federations and clubs. You know, we've been lucky enough to be able to work with these federations and test our programme, you know, with the top people in the game. So you get a really, you know, well-rounded approach. And I thought with this thing, it's been really key for being involved, you know, every year it's continued to change, and, you know, on a monthly basis, you know, we update our curriculum and evolve our program. So I think that's quite unique in terms of, and probably what's given Curva its longevity as well.
And so how do we see Curva then within Scotland? I mean, what are your kind of main areas? Are you, I'd like between the kind of established community-based football teams, or are you starting to move into schools?
We have a range of different things that we do. I mean, probably the biggest area we feel that we can have an effect and leave a legacy, if you like, is in coach education. So we have 2 years ago we launched a new Curva Youth Diploma course, which is a 2-day course where the guys come in for 12 hours, and that's opened up to coaches of all levels. We feel that's the biggest effect we can have. We have our own kind of weekly schools and performance academies and our own pathway, if you like, for young players. But the biggest effect we can have is coach education. And I think as well, the way the game's going now, the grassroots clubs are really doing a fantastic job, and there's some fantastic clubs out there. And, you know, we're trying to support them as best we can. We have a new partner club program. So we want to get out there and work with the coaches and work with the players, try and help them all, you know, and help them develop as much as we can.
I mean, the one of the kind of local football teams that I'm involved with, just as I'm the kind of early stages of my own education as a coach in youth football, you know, my experience of Curva have been that, you know, some of your folk have come along, and so it looks to me as if it's coach education, but done within the context of also coaching the young people. So it's not, I don't know, is that a kind of time issue then about, you know, let's coach the coaches at the same time as coaching the young people, so we're not just using up valuable time that volunteers possibly don't have by, I know that it happens, it will happen on occasion, but not always actually removing them from the training field to educate.
Yeah, I mean, spot on. I mean, obviously, especially with volunteers, that they give so much time, you know, and that's something that we're really precious to try and make sure we make it as accessible and as easy as possible. In terms of, you know, as you know, we work with a lot of clubs. In terms of our partner club program, it's kind of two-pronged focus. We have direct education for the coaches, which is done in the form of coaches' clinics, which are normally 4 times a year, which are kind of 3-hour clinics. And then we also ask the coaches to come along. And when we're doing the team training sessions with our squad, is that the coaches come and assist with that. And also that becomes part of the education. It's also, you know, it's like sometimes you can give the theory and give the sessions, but actually seeing it in action can be, you know, and actually shadowing the sessions can give even more of an effect. So, yeah, I mean, we think it's a great education, hopefully, for the coaches. And we also want the coaches to be part of that, you know, because that's how we evolve as a programme, getting the coaches' feedback. You know, we pick up, every day you pick up new ideas and new things that, you know, the coaches that you're actually, you know, working with and trying to support are also giving back to you, that to us guys, you know. So, yeah, it kind of is that side of it, the time, but also just making sure that they actually see the sessions physically working with the players.
And I noticed, Joe, that, again, this is through kind of my own personal experience, but, you know, you have the Just for Girl approach as well, and I'm not sure if you were involved in this at all, but was there at some point recognition that there needed to be the opportunity for girls to take part in a specific programme? I mean, I know that on a Saturday and Sunday afternoon or morning in a Dunfermline area, you know, you have girls playing for what might be termed or could be termed a boys' team. You also have now an increasing number of all-girl teams. So was that a kind of conscious decision that there needed to be a particular approach, maybe due to physical or mental differences, maybe between boys and girls?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wasn't involved myself in the kind of research behind it, but the basic principle was that girls were learning differently in terms of football, and what we found from that was that the girls to learn quicker the actual technical skill. So the no pressure part, if you like, the part where they're practicing, say it's a 1v1 move, they tended to learn that a lot quicker than the boys. And that's so where the difference came in was that the boys tended to apply the skill quicker. So the girls were learning it quicker, but not actually able to take it into the game quite as readily and quite as quickly as the boys. So it kind of led to a few things on the Just for Girls programme. It led to the way we structured girls. We spent less time on the bedding in, if you like, of the girls, and more time on the steps towards using it in the game. Just because, as I say, they learned it so much quicker. Where the problem came is more application. Other little things make a difference as well. You know, girls when they play sport sometimes for slightly different reasons than boys, you know. So things like there's probably a bit more social interaction with the girls. So some things like when they go for a drink straight, they get so they can have that kind of social side as well. So it's in terms of the drills and games and the method, if you like, it's still the same, but there is little tweaks here and there. And interestingly, we're just about to in December launch our first ever resource aimed for girls with Ted Miley, the famous US player. So that's going to be out in December. So that again will just, you know, support the Just for Girls program as well.
Just a wee reminder, if you've just joined the broadcast late, that you're listening to Joe Jones from Cueva, Scotland, and you can email us or get in touch via Twitter after you've listened to the show, and any comments to pass on to Joe. I noticed on your website, Joe, you're talking about some kind of involvement with schools coming soon. So can you say a bit about any existing involvement with schools and how that... And also maybe a bit about how you might see that developing in the future?
Yeah, we've had a range of school programmes over the years. You know, I think the school that was set up, things obviously changes quite a bit. We have a really successful programme, for example, at George Watson's College in Edinburgh. And a few other schools there. That I do with that is to provide a pathway for the kids. And giving them an access route into football at the school, where it's quite easy for them just to either come straight from school or, you know, go home and have a quite bite to eat and come back. So, for example, at George Watson's, we have a full pathway here. Kids from 5 to 14, so they can come along, no matter the level, they come along to an instructor level or weekly schools, and then we have a further pathway if the kids then progress and maybe, you know, they're taking football a little bit more seriously and go play club football. Then we have a performance academy, which is in the next level up. And then an elite level, which again is, you know, giving the kids a chance to play at their own level. And we think it's really key to have that in the school. You know, for us, there's no point travelling, you know, too far to play football. You know, if we can make it for them and nice and easy for them. And also, in an environment that they're used to and they're comfortable in, certainly helps. So that's a big part of our programme as well.
And does that then lead into game situations? Are you involved other whoever teams out there, or are you involved in the kind of administration of Cuerva only certified leagues, or is that something that might be coming?
No, I mean, from our side of things, we want to work with as many people as... and, you know, we feel we have a great programme, so we get that as many kids and coaches and clubs as we can. So it would probably be a little bit restrictive, you know, if we had our own team. So our philosophy on it is that the kids come to Cuerva, and obviously, you know, if they then decide they want to play with clubs, we can kind of point them in the right direction of a local club. And then we want to support that, you know, on development, really. You know, we're focused on the kids who want to do that a little bit more. You know, they need to train 2-3 nights for a club and on a school team, but they want to, you know, give themselves what we call the kind of skill for legs and adding additional training, so they come along to Cuerva to do that, you know. So teams isn't really something we run. We're here to support all the clubs and work with them, you know, and help them do the other players.
Just wonder if it might be helpful to some listeners just to set out, Joe, you know, what youth football looks like across Scotland. It certainly has changed a lot since my day playing the boys' brigade on the blaze pitches.
Second that.
So, what does it look like just now? I mean, I know that there seems to be this wholesale move away from 11v11, certainly up until I think it's early teenage years. So, you know, what's caught at the moment?
I mean, in my opinion, I think the SFA have done a fantastic job in terms of the small sided game. You know, every time we change national manager, there seems to be a warrant for sort of changing everything. But I think certainly in terms of small sided football, the Scottish FA have been well ahead in that. You know, we're one of the first teams to 7v7, and now the 4v4s as well. So, kind of loosely, what happens is the kids start football now playing football fours, which is 4v4. Without a goalkeeper. It's a very relaxed environment. I know that some leagues, for example, the kids don't even play in their own teams, for example, in the Soccer Sevens, which is a fantastic league. The kids mix up in the 4v4s, play different teams. Then once they progress from the 4s, they then go on to play 7v7 up until age 12. And then when they go 11v11 at age 13. So I think, you know, that's been a huge step in our opinion. You know, we've always championed this small group play, and it's a 4v4, if you look at the game in general. But it's great to see that, and my belief is that the skill level of the players is improving because of the smaller sided. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're getting more touch on the ball, more repetition, it's more fun. It's also more relaxed than your average kind of 11v11 game. So kids playing fours and sevens are having time to develop their skills, getting lots of touch on the ball. The field now is the right size for them. The goals is the right size for the goalkeeper. So it's, I think that's really helped the skill level in our game. And hopefully, you know, hopefully we can get down the route where we're developing these technical players and skillful players. And I think the pathway that's in place now will certainly help to do that.
And you mentioned earlier that the Cueva method is worldwide. How do you find yourself linking in on an international level through online tools or conferences or what have you? Do you get an opportunity to meet with people from other countries or other continents who are also, you know, embedding whoever within their own football?
Yes, I mean, I've been with Cueva now for just over 10 years, and when we first started, you know, obviously communications weren't as like they are now, but we now have a online support site, you know, directly from the co-founders. But truly, I mean, for me, the thing that makes Cueva special is it is truly a global program. You know, it's not us doing something in Scotland and Sweden doing something else and Japan doing something else. There is only one Cueva coaching curriculum, and we're all working from the same curriculum, the same approach. And we're lucky enough that, you know, we're lucky enough to get opportunities to travel to do that as well. You know, we do a lot of work. We've done a lot with the Scandinavian program, so we have a lot of coaches going out to Sweden, Norway, Denmark, doing this kind of work. And it's great interaction. You know, it's really invaluable education because these guys are obviously working with clubs and teams in their countries, and we're doing the same and bringing that all together and bringing that best practice. So again, I think that's something that makes Cueva really unique. And, you know, our biggest program in the world is Japan. We have crazy, we have 17,000 players in the Cueva program in Japan on a weekly basis. And we're really closely linked in there, and lots of ideas and things coming back from these kind of countries. So it's really, you know, it really is a global, a truly global family and program.
A couple of directions if they want to find out more information, or if they actually want to get in touch with you and try and take something further, it would be handy if you could provide us with a couple of links. Also, you know, I think a lot of listeners to you talk, and I know yourself, you're on Twitter. It sounds to me like among the coaching community, and I say that in the broadest sense, that there seems to be a number of kind of hashtags kicking about as well. I've seen 5-5-4-4. So are there a couple of kind of key hashtags that folk might want to check out also?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, certainly in terms of we have our Twitter pages, which is at Scotland Cueva, and my own Twitter page is at Cueva Joe Jones. But there's a lot of hashtags, people using Cueva as a hashtag, so again, that would work. There's some fantastic independent or voluntary sites, if you like, out there. I know that the coach family in the UK is pretty popular, and the classic resources on there. I know some people aren't most keen on Twitter, but I think it's a hassle for coaches and a chance to share ideas. You also, again, that coaching family is a great one, and there's loads of different ones on there.
Well, Joe, thank you very much for giving up your valuable time this evening to appear on Energy Talks, and best wishes for the future.
That's great. Thanks, David. Nice to speak to you.
Cheers now. Bye.
Bye-bye.